Happening to my podcast. Good morning, everyone. This is Arthur Pearlie Martin, Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. Today, I'm reading 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, you guys go to my Wisdom Walk Proverbs 31-Day Journey on Facebook Live to catch up with us. I read 1 Peter today, and I'm moving on now to 1 John. I love the book of John. My prayer is, Father, that you will cause our saliva glands to run. Help us to be overflowing. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us with spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and all your understanding that you have to give. In Jesus' name we pray. We're starting with 1 John. It says, "We proclaim to you the one who exists from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands." Because we know that the apostles were there with him. They walked with him as they discipled him. So he's talking about this. This is his introduction to us. He says, "He is the word of life." How many of you know this is what we're constantly talking about? That God and his word is one, right? Well, John is telling us here in John 1:1, he says, "He is the word of life." He says, "We proclaim to you the one who exists from the beginning." Jesus was always there in the beginning. "Let us make man in our image." He was always there in the beginning. "Whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes." He said, "We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands." He is the word of life. Jesus is the word of life. He says, "This one who is like life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you." Remember, the word of God is written to us. It was left here for our example. The word of God is alive, right? It's God breathed. This is God's love letter to us. We're reading the will of God. The word of God is the will of God, is the way of God, right? This is what we're reading. We're reading the will of God, his New Testament. Okay, it says, "This one is life itself, was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life." Listen here. He just said in John 1:1 that he is the word of life, the W-O-R-D. Jesus is the word of life. Now we come down in 2, and he says he's the one. He is eternal life. 1 John 1:2. He's proclaiming to us. He's testifying to us on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's the word of life, and he is our eternal life, okay? He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. He was with the Father first, he said, before he was revealed to us. He was in heaven, okay? He was already all right. He left heaven to come down to earth to be with us, right? So we could have a way back to the Father. He was already all right, you guys. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He was already all right. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. That he didn't have to do what he did, but it was because his Father, John 3:16, tell us it was because he so loved the world. That's you and that's me. That he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. So now we're going on to 1 John 1:3. He said, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard." They're testifying. Listen here. John is testifying. It's so good that we testify, because every time we testify, we make the devil out to be a lie. Here he is. He said, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship as believers is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. "We are writing these things so that you may be fully, so that you may fully share in our joy." Living in the Light. This is entitled 1 John 1 and 5 NLT, Living in the Light. He says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light. This is what the word of the Lord is saying. He's saying, God is light. Listen up here. He's saying, God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. There's no darkness in him at all. God is light. And there's no darkness in him at all. God is light. And there's no darkness in him at all. 1 John 1 and 6 NLT. It says, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness, right? This is what the word, listen, this is the word of the Lord, okay? He says, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing lifestyle. We're not practicing. This is an action word. We're not practicing the truth. Remember, I tell you, when we read the word, look for the verb, because the verb is going to tell us what we're supposed to be doing. Remember, faith without works is dead, right? When you read the word, look for the verb. Okay, so here he is. He's telling us. He said, so we're lying if we say we have fellowship. Why is this? Because to fellowship with God means you have to walk in submission to God, means we have to walk in obedience to God. We cannot walk with God and be in rebellion to God. So how can two walk together except they both agree? So to have fellowship with God, we have to walk in agreement with God. Amos 3 and 3 asks the question, how can two walk together except they both agree? So we have to walk in fellowship. We have to walk in agreement. We have to walk in submission to God to walk in fellowship with God. But he said, listen, if my life, I say I walk in fellowship with God, but my lifestyle is completely contrary to who he is and how he is. He's saying, guess what? You are a liar and the truth is not in you. You are a liar. I'm a liar if I say I have fellowship with God and my lifestyle, I'm not practicing the truth, and my lifestyle is contrary to who he is and to how he is. It's a lie. It's a lie. And, you know, we be saying, well, I love the Lord, but our lifestyle is completely contrary to who he is. We say, I know the Lord, but our lifestyle is completely contrary to how he is. That's not true. He said, that's a lie. And the truth is not in us when we don't practice the truth, when we don't do what we know to do. He said, that's a lie. That's a lie. And the truth is not in us. Right? So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing. We're not living Christ-like. We're not practicing the truth. Because when I walk in fellowship with God, I walk in agreement with God, and my lifestyle is going to reflect his lifestyle, right? But if we are in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. So while walking the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, right? And he says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sins. So when I'm walking, what is it to walk in the light? To walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the light. He is the light of this world. He is the light. He is the light. He is the light. He is the light of the world. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's go on. 1 John 1 and 8, NLT. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, wickedness. To cleanse us. I'm reading NLT. And to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our heart. When we say that we have fellowship with him and we still walking in darkness, we're lying. Right? We're a liar because to walk in fellowship with God, we have to walk in agreement with God. But if we confess our sins, if we quit lying, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. God, the word of the Lord is, be ye holy as I am holy. Remember, holiness is our lifestyle, not our dress size. There's no condemnation. This is the word of the Lord. If it convicts us, let's just be quick to repent, because he's telling us here now. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our heart. That's the end of 1 John 1:1 NLT. 1 John 1:1. We're going to go to 1 John 1:2. 1 John 2. That was a small chapter. I'm telling you right now, my saliva glands are running. Lord, let your cup runneth over. Fill us up, Lord. Let our cup overflow in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord, that we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. 1 John 2, NLT. Okay, it says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, he has an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself, who we talking about, Jesus Christ himself, is the sacrifice that comes, the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only ours, but the sins of the world. His sacrifice is the one that paid for our sins. He's our ransom. He was our ransom. We owed a debt we could not pay. He is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. 1 John 1:3, chapter 2, verse 3. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. This is how we know if we know the Lord. We know our obedience to God tells us if we know God, right? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. When we live for God, our obedience to God will show that we know God, right? And we can be sure that we know him. We're talking relationship. This is how I can tell if I know him. This is how I can tell if you know him. We can know them by their fruit, right? If we obey him, if we obey his commandments, this is how we can know if we know him. If someone claims, I know God, listen, this is the word of the Lord. This is not Pearly word. This is not my thoughts. This is God's thoughts. This is the will of God. This is the word of God. This is the way of God. So if you want to argue, take it up with God. Okay, because I'm just reading what 1 John 2:4 says. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. This is how we know that we're living in him. This is how we know that we love God, is by our obedience to God. He said, listen, but those who obey God's word truly show him completely that they love him. So we can judge our love for God. This is where I get this from when I say this. I judge my love for God by my obedience to God. Because 1 John 2:5 tells us, but those who obey God's word truly show him completely that they love him. So when we obey God, we show God that we love him. This is how we know we are living in him. This is how we know that we're living in him. This is how we know that we're fellowshipping with him. This is how we know that we're walking in fellowship with him. By obedience to God, because we can't walk in fellowship with God without being obedient to God. Because how can two, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except we both agree? Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Listen. This is the word of the Lord. Go back and read it for yourself. This is not Pearlie's word. This is the word of the Lord. He said, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. No, we're not God, but we have the Spirit of God in us. The same Spirit. How many of you know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it now lives inside of us? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Remember, the Bible tells us that our body, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 6, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit, which means that the Spirit of the living God, if we can grasp this. I remember when the Lord first gave me the revelation on this, that your spirit, your body, I'm saying your body that you live in, your body is the temple. It's the place. It's the dwelling place where the Spirit of the living God, it lives in. The Spirit of God lives inside your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, can we grab that? I just want to sit there for a second, for a minute, for a moment, because I want us to meditate, to focus, and to concentrate on the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of the living God, it lives on the inside of us. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. You got that? Can we just grab that? Grab that. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. This is what the word of the Lord says. This is the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Here he comes. He's speaking to us. This is the word of the Lord. The word of God is the will of God. It's entitled A New Commandment. He said, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. This is not a new commandment. He's telling us to love one another. To love one another. Love is, how many of you know, love is the fulfillment of the law. The word of the Lord is saying to us to love one another. The word of the Lord is saying to love one another. This is the commandment. It's not a new one. It's the same message you heard from the beginning. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of the commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. Jesus is the light. Right, the true light, we're the light. He tells us, he said, listen here, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good deeds and your Father in heaven will be glorified. Deeds, action, the word deeds. Remember, when you read the word, look for the verb. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So how do you find what the works is? How do you find the works in the word? When you read the word, look for the verb. That's how you find the works. Right? This is how we find the works. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow brother, that person is still living in darkness. Why is this? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The word tells us, the word of the Lord says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So hate is of the devil. It's dark. Right? It's not love. Hate is opposite to love. So he said, if you hate a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Because when we're walking in the dark, we're walking in deception, because we're not in the light. When we're walking in hate and unforgiveness, we're walking under the influence of deception, because somewhere along the way, the devil has tricked us out of the truth and led us to believe that we don't have to do what God say do. We can walk in darkness and still have fellowship. That's not true, because God is light. And when we walk in darkness, we're not walking in fellowship with him. We are a liar. But if you hate your fellow believers, that person is still living in darkness. So if you have hate in your heart, you're still living in darkness. It doesn't matter how many scriptures we know. And we have hate in our heart, we're still living in darkness. Hate is not God. Love is God. And when we're living, when we refuse to forgive, we're living in darkness. I don't care how many scriptures you know. I don't care how anointed you are, because all that comes from God, right? That's not you, that's him. I'm talking about the issues and the matter of the heart. If we have hate, you can know a lot of scriptures and still have hate in your heart. You can go to church, you can preach in the pulpit and still have unforgiveness in your heart. But this is the word of the Lord. It says, if anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. NLT, go back and read it. This is the receipts. The word of God is the proof. I'm just reading the will of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble, because he don't have hate in his heart, right? He has love in his heart. When we have love in our heart, that causes us to be walking in the light. And when we have love in our heart, that causes us to walk in fellowship with the Lord. We have to have love in our heart to walk in fellowship with God, because God in him, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, we're on verse 11. 1 John 2:11. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. We don't know where to go. We don't know which way to go, because when you're in the dark, we can't see. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We know that when we go in a room and there's no light, the first thing we do is we hit that light switch. Right? We turn on the light so we can see where we're going. But when we have hate in our heart, we have unforgiveness in our heart, we have bitterness in our heart, we have offense in our heart, we have envy in our heart. I'm talking about the inner heart. I'm talking about those inner sins. You know, the inner ones, the ones that nobody can see, but for real, they can see. It's just that God isn't calling them out yet. Because how many of you know he always deals with us in private first? And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he loved me too much to leave me alone. I'm grateful for his conviction. I'm grateful for his chastisement. Because he chastised those that he loved. And when God is correcting me, it's because he's loving us. When he corrects us, it's because he loves us, not because he hates us, not because he wants to crush us, not because he wants to condemn us. Because just like a father corrects his son, is the same way our Abba Father. Do you know him as Abba Father, or is he the man upstairs? Because when we know him as Abba Father, we don't see him as the man upstairs. I'm talking personal relationship. We have not a high priest who's not touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Christ can identify with us. He came in the form of a human being, man. And he's touched. If it bothers you, he's concerned about it. That's why he said, cast your cares on me, because I can carry it. You're not created to carry worries, fears. I came to deliver you, to redeem you, to set you free from every curse that wants to bind you, that wants to break you, that wants to crush you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Sometimes we don't have a vision because we have bitterness in our heart. we don't have a vision, and we don't know which way to go. We don't know which way what we're supposed to be doing, because we have offense in our heart, because these things blind us and they keep us from being able to clearly see what the will of the Lord is for our lives. It keeps us from being able to clearly see, to have a vision. Your heart must be clear. When your heart is clear, your vision is clear. When your heart is dark, your vision is dark, and you're stumbling, and you're here and you're there, and you're just all over the place because you can't see where you're going. So what is the word of the Lord? Forgive. Forgive it so your vision can be restored. Forgive it so your vision. Sin causes us to be blind. Samson was blinded because of sin, right? He got into sin. He got mixed up with the immoral woman. He did everything his parents and God told him not to do, and it caused him to stumble. But thank God for his grace. God is a God of redemption, right? He loves us too much to leave us where we are and how we are. And sometimes it hurts. The truth hurts. The truth hurts our flesh, because our spirit is fine. But as we begin to grow and mature in the Lord, we'll be able to take those corrections. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. Our offenses are going to come. We can't control this world. We can't control everybody, what they say, what they do. Our goal is to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to control us, to walk in the Spirit, so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't satisfy the evil desires of the flesh, which is to hold offense, which is to be in unforgiveness. The reason we can't see, the reason we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, it's because of the unforgiveness. It's because of the offense. It's because of the bitterness. It's because of the envy. This is a hard truth, because when we are faced with the truth, sometimes it can be a hard truth because we don't want to see those things about ourselves. I know when the Lord had me writing my book, Understanding Your Own Issues, there was things he showed me about me. It crushed me. You know, it says godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And when I say it crushed me, was because I wasn't aware that I was doing some of those things. But as the Lord began to show me, and I began to be able to see me, my tears was tears of repentance. I was sorry that I had hurt him. I was sorry that I had grieved the Holy Spirit. I was sorry that I had was acting like that with my husband and didn't even realize it. I was sorry to God. How many of you know that godly sorrow worketh repentance? We have to be able not to play the blame game, because as long as we can blame other people for how we are, we'll never see a need to repent or change how we are. So the reason we can't see, the reason we don't have a vision, the reason we don't know what we're supposed to be doing is because we're walking in darkness. But anyone who hates a fellow believer, you say, I don't hate. Well, unforgiveness, all that goes together. Bitterness, anything in our heart that's contrary to who God is and how God is, it blinds us. And we're still walking in darkness. Go back, read 1 John 2:11. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. We have a lot of visionless people. Because of unforgiveness. No one has a right not to forgive. That's not your right. Jesus took away that when he died on the cross. In the same way Jesus has forgiven us, we too must be willing to forgive others. Because when we refuse to forgive, we lose our vision. We lose our vision. We're just all over the place. The reason we don't have a vision, the reason we don't can't see, is because, say it, the reason I can't see is because of the hidden unforgiveness in me. So Father, we come before you right now, this second, this minute, this moment, and we ask that you show us everything in our heart that's contrary to who you are, that's contrary to how you are. Reveal it to us, Father. We repent of it right now in the name of Jesus. We repent, Father, for not believing your word. When you said if we don't forgive others, you won't forgive us. We repent of unforgiveness. We repent of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. And we receive your forgiveness. Because you said we have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're finna move on. Let's move on. Verse 12, 1 John 1:12. He says, if you don't have a vision, check out your heart. Because if you got hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, anything in your heart that's contrary to God, create in us a clean heart, Father, renewing us a right spirit, so we can see what you say, so we can have a clear vision. The reason you don't have a vision is because of unforgiveness in your heart, or bitterness, or hate. We can't hold on. Strife. What's in you? He said, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Put perverse speech far from you. Watch the words that you say. Watch the places that you go. Watch what you listen to. Guard it. Guard it, because all these areas give access to our heart. Right? Things that we see can offend you. You can see stuff and it offend you. You can hear stuff and it offend you. You can go places and be offended. Watch the path which your feet take. Proverbs 4:23, 24, 25. Go back and read that. As you read further down, it's going to tell you how to guard your heart. Okay. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. He says, I'm writing to you who are God's children. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. Because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith. Because we got to be mature in the faith to take correction. Because when we're not mature, we're easily offended. Because we take everything to heart. We make it personal. But correction is for our protection. Correction, God corrects us because he loves us, not because he's punishing us. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who exists from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who exists from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word live in your hearts. And you have won your battle with the evil one. This is entitled, Do Not Love the World. 1 John chapter 2, NLT, verse 15. He says, do not love this world, nor the things that offer you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Listen up. This is what I've constantly been saying, right? This is the word of the Lord. When we lose our love for God, we lose our fire for God, we lose our desire for God, it's because we are loving the things of this world. Do not love this world. Please go back and read. This is the word of the Lord. 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, which is the lust of the flesh, a craving for everything we see, the lust of the eyes, everything we see. And pride in our achievements and possessions. We become prideful in our accolades and our degrees and our own abilities and our own achievements. We forget that the fact that everything that we have, what is it we have that we did not receive? If we're smart, it's because God is the one that gives us the brain to think right. If we're strong, it's because God has given us the strength. If we're creative, the creativity comes from the God who created us. What is it that we have that we can really boast about that didn't come from God? Everything. What is it we have that we did not receive? How can we boast in our own achievements and in our own ability when everything that we have came from our Heavenly Father? What is it we have? My question to you is, what is it we have that we did not, that God did not give us? What is it we have that God did not give us? The very breath that we breathe comes from him. It's because of him that we live, move, and even have our beings. live, move, and have our being. It's because of him that we're alive. So what is it to have pride in our achievements and possessions and these things that we have that's not even ours, it's on lease? Because when we leave this world, all this stuff is going to be left behind. We're not taking any of this stuff. We already know this, Drew, because when you go to a funeral, a person laying in a casket, there's no money, cars, bank accounts, ring, even the rings on their finger are going to be left in that coffin. There's nothing from this natural physical world that we can take with us. So let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let's not boast in our achievement because of the fact, the only reason I'm good, anything about me that you see is good is because of God, right? To God belong all glory, all honor and all praise. When Christ is lifted up, he said he'll draw all men to himself. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, the lust of the flesh, a craving for everything we see, the lust of the eyes, and pride in our achievements and possessions, the pride of life. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. God is not, he doesn't operate like that. He's not going to cause you to lust. He's not going to cause your flesh to lust. He's not going to cause you to have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the fall of Eve in the garden. She saw that the fruit was good. She looked at it. She began to lust after it. She said, it's good for food. She saw it. She said, it looks like it's good for food. It'll make one wise, the pride of life. That, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. These are the three excesses. These are the three temptations of Christ. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. When go back and read when he was, after he had finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You're going to see these three things in operation. Satan tried to tempt him with food. He was hungry. He took him up on the pedestal. He said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this, the lust of the eyes. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself amongst the stones and the angels will lift you up. The pride of life. See, the pride of life is boastful. And it always gets you to try to make you feel like you got to prove yourself. Well, you don't have to tempt the Lord thy God. Quit trying to test him. God don't have to answer our test. If you really God, then do this. Quit trying to fleece him. This is what the world calls fleecing. But God don't have to answer our test. Okay, if you're God, open this door. Let's not get into that because the devil's in that arena. He just wants you to believe him and take him at his word. How would you like it every time you told somebody something, they would say, well, I won't believe it unless I see it. If you really gonna do what you say, then do this. That's not faith. Quit trying to tempt God. Quit trying to test God. I got a podcast on that. Go over there and listen to it. We're on verse 17, and these are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away. This stuff is all going to fade away. It's going to rust. It's going to molt. It's going to, you know, along with everything that people crave, all this, the lust of the flesh, lust, all this stuff is going to fade away. Because when our spirit leaves this body, we're not going to be lusting after the things of this world. It's all going to fade away. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever, because we're going to have eternal life with him, right? We're going to heaven when we do what pleases the Lord. When we do what pleases the Lord, we're going to go be with the Lord. We're almost finished. This is warning about Antichrist. It says, we're on 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, NLT. It says, dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this time, we know that the last hour has come. We're living in the last hour. These people left our churches, but they never really belong with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. Don't cry when people go. Don't. Quit trying to be friends with people that don't want to be friends with you. Quit trying to be friends with people who have come and gone. Because people come for a reason. People come for a season. And some people come for a lifetime. And we need to understand the purpose for people in our lives. When people come in my life or I come in their life, I always want to know, Lord, why am I here? Lord, why are they here? We have to do this because God is a God of purpose. And, you know, the devil would send people on a mission to try to distract you, to get you off course, right? we need to understand and know. We always need to be aware, be sober, and be alert what's going on around us. Because everybody that's following you is not with you. And everybody that's with you is not with you. Judas was with Jesus. He followed Jesus, but for real, he wasn't with Jesus. He didn't even acknowledge him as the Messiah. He called him rabbi. He called him a teacher. He was walking in darkness because his heart wasn't right. That's why he didn't know who Jesus Christ was. He was stealing from the money bags. He was the treasure. Jesus knew what was going on with him. Listen to this. 1 John 2:20. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has given you his spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. One translation, I believe it's King James Version, say. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has given you his spirit. And all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, right? I'm not writing this because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. You can discern. I'm writing this because you do know the truth. You know the difference between what's true and what's false. You know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Who is a liar? Verse 22 says, anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who says that Jesus is not the Messiah, anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who just say that Jesus is a prophet, anyone who just say Jesus was a good teacher, anyone who does not acknowledge, who will not say that Jesus is the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. This is the word of the Lord. So when you're entangling with people, with different religions, people knocking on your doors or whatever, and they say, we believe Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you say, well, why do I need your book when I got the Bible? Because, listen here, it's very deceitful. Why do I need your book and when we got the Bible? It's obvious. It's some trickery in here. The word of the Lord says, if anyone come to you bearing any other doctrine, not that there is another doctrine, even if an angel himself come from heaven, he said, let that one be a curse and don't even bid them. Don't even say farewell. Don't even bid them. Don't even say God bless you. Because in doing so, you're being a partaker of what they're doing. Don't bless evil. Don't bless that mess. Don't sit down with false religions unless the Holy Spirit tell you. And then, because I almost converted one of them ones that knock on the door and like to give them books. Don't do that unless the Spirit of the Lord leads you. Because he have sheep and other foes, right? If the Lord leads you to. Don't argue doctrine. It's not about doctrine. The word of God is not for debate. It's never about debate. Testify to people that don't believe. Tell them about the goodness, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell your testimony. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. Okay? Don't do the doctrine stuff. Just tell them. I know that Jesus Christ is real because I'm a living witness. Because an eyewitness is better than any kind of witness. I'm telling you, an eyewitness. I've experienced him. I've tasted for myself that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, the reason I know he's real is not because I've read his word. Because I knew he was real before I read his word. I knew he was real the day I accepted him because he embraced me. And he loved me and he wrapped me in his arms. I got to hurry up and finish here. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he's promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. He's not saying we don't need a teacher. He's saying the Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the truth. Like you can sit here and try to say something, it'd be a lie. And the Holy Spirit, we have an unction from the Holy One. The Holy Spirit will let me know if what you're saying is true or false. Right? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He is a teacher. He's the one that gives us revelation knowledge. He reveals to us. He helps us to discern good from evil and right from wrong. living as children of God. We're almost finished this last verse. 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ. Stay in fellowship with them. Walk in the light. Walk as Christ. Live Christ-like. This is how we stay in fellowship with him, by living Christ-like. If Jesus isn't doing it, we shouldn't be doing it, right? Fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. You won't have anything to be embarrassed of. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. That's how we'll know. We'll know if we walk in fellowship with God. We'll know if we love God by our obedience to God. And Father, we just come before you again today, this day, in Jesus' name, praying. Father, you said it's your spirit that even willeth us to do good. We thank you for your grace, Father, for your grace is sufficient. Whatever you've called us to, you will help us to do it. For your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. It's fresh, it's new again today, this day. Bring this word back to our remembrance, Lord God. We come before you and we say, Lord, we thank you for your convictions. We thank you for your chastisement. We thank you for your exhortation, edification, your confirmation. Father, we thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us so that we can be a light today in the midst of this dark, hurting world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys share this podcast. Share this Facebook Live with someone, with anyone. Just share it. Let's make it go viral. Let's spread the gospel throughout the world. Alrighty. And most of all, most important, make sure that you take time out to get in the Word. Because remember, the Word of God is God's love letter to us, talking to us. All scriptures are God-breathed, right? He inspired man to write what he was saying. Okay, I'm getting ready to end here. Be blessed, be encouraged. Like I always say, keep looking for the good in your day so you can see God's goodness all throughout your day. Again, this was me reading, author Pearly Martin, reading 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2. Till next time. You guys be blessed and be so, so, so very, very, very encouraged, okay?